You have your Bibles, please open them with us to the scriptures we ran together, 2 Samuel, the chapter 3. And could I draw your attention to the verse 33? 2 Samuel chapter 3 and the verse 33. And the king lamented over Abner and said, "Died Abner as a fool dieth." With God's word before us, we'll bow together in a word of prayer and we'll ask for the Lord's presence and the Lord's help as we turn to His word this evening. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee this evening that we are gathered around Thy precious word. We thank Thee tonight that is a word that has been breathed by Thee. And we rejoice that it has been preserved by Thee as well. We thank the Lord that it is a speaking word. And that is our cry this evening that Thou wouldst come into our gathering. And that Thou by Thy Spirit would take up Thy word. And that Thou wouldst apply it to individual hearts this evening. Lord, we realize that life indeed is brief. And our cry would be that there are those who have not yet made preparation, that this night that they would prepare to meet Thee, that this night that they would close in with the offer of salvation. They would leave this meeting knowing that it is well with their souls. O God, to that end I cry unto Thee for help. Help us to take up Thy word. Lord, bring to my remembrance that which Thou would have us to say. May we speak in the might, my of Thy Spirit. For this we pray in Thy name and for Thine glory. Amen. The second book of Samuel, the chapter 3, and in that verse 33 we read, "And the king lamented over Abner and said, Died Abner as a fool dieth." In the pages of Jewish military history, the figure of Abner stands out. In the days of King Saul, he driving back Israel's enemies. He served with great distinction, remaining loyal to Saul even after his death. He sought to set his son Ishbosheth upon the throne. However, being unable to resist the might and wisdom of David, he was finally forced to retreat, fleeing from the battlefield and driving his spear backward. He drove it into the rib of Asahel, slaying him. His elder brother Joab was filled with anger and bitterness, exercising his right under the law to avenge his brother's blood. He subtly plotted against Abner, luring him under the pretense of friendship up to the gates of Hebron. He then thrust his sword into his fifth rib, my slaying him. And hearing of his death, David coming to his funeral, his heart was broken. The tears streaming down his cheeks, he asked, "My died Abner as a fool dieth." Or as Matthew Poole, the great Bible commentator, renders it, "My died he as a vile person." And when we bring these two meanings together, we see that David was saying that dying in his sin, that he died as a fool. You see, tonight, to die in your sin is to die as a fool, because it will bring you down into destruction, and more than that, it will bring you down into eternal despair. Indeed, the Apostle Paul, taking up his pen and reminding the Romans of that great truth, he told them in Romans chapter 6 in the verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." And he reminded them that sin would not only bring physical death and spiritual death, but it would also bring eternal death. Again, Ezekiel taking up his pen, he said, "The soul that sinneth in shall die." And in the Gospel of Matthew, we find there a builder building his house upon the sand. and that builder feeling to make preparation for the coming of the storms of judgment or the storms of winter. My, how did the Lord describe him? He described him as a foolish man. You see, to live without Christ is to live as a fool. And to die without Christ is to die as a fool. You say, why? Because, my friend, to live without Christ is to miss his pardon. It's to miss his peace. It's to miss his presence. It's to miss his power in your life. And to die without Christ is to perish. It is to be lost for all of eternity. You see, tonight, while our faces may differ, one thing is absolutely sure, and that is that one day every one of us, my, are going to die. And I wonder, in that day when your body is lowered down into Mother Earth, will we able to say concerning you that, my, he lived as a wise man. And he lived as a wise man and died as a wise man. Or will we have to say he lived and died as a fool? My friend, to live without Christ, to live in your sin, is to live as a fool. Is to miss, my, God's blessing in your life. To die in your sin is to perish, to be lost for all of eternity. And so I want tonight to draw your attention to this man, Abner. I want you to notice firstly here his folly. As well as being a member of the royal family, Abner was an important military leader. In the days of Saul, he had pushed Israel's borders forward. However, things now finally beginning to go wrong. He acted foolishly. Notice here the refuge he despised. Hearing the summons of Joab to turn aside, we read there in verse 27, "And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died." The name Hebron there means fellowship. Might as first mentioned away back in the book of Genesis. There Abraham coming into it and building an altar, he entered into fellowship with the Lord. In the book of Joshua, we discover that it was one of the six cities of refuge. And under the law, the avenger of blood was not permitted to enter into it. And as such, Abner, instead of standing and talking at the gate, had entered into this city, he would have been safe. Joab there would not have been able to touch him. And you know, like Abner, there is beside every man and every woman a place of refuge, a shelter, not only from the storms of life, but from the storms of judgment. Indeed, the Apostle Paul, taking up his pen and writing unto the Romans, he said there in Romans 8 and the verse 1, "There is now therefore no more condemnation to them that are in Christ." And he reminded them that as the waters in the flood were unable to touch Noah when he was in the ark, so those that were in the ark of Christ are in salvation. The storms of judgment could not touch them. You see, in Christ, there is not only pardon, there is protection, refuge from the storms of life, and more importantly, refuge from the storms of divine wrath and judgment. You know, sometimes when fire sweeps through a forest, the firemen, instead of trying to beat out the flames, they actually take the matches and they go out and they light a whole series of other smaller fires and controlled fires. And by those fires, they create fire breaks. So that when the main fire comes to that fire break, it is immediately halted, it's stopped in its track. And my friend, at the cross, Christ became our fire breath. At the cross, He took our sin. He died in our place. He bore our judgment and He rose victorious so that all that enter into Him should face no more judgment. Martin Luther, realizing that great truth, he taking up his pen, he wrote, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing." You see, my friend, tonight, you don't need to perish. You don't need to bear the wrath that is due to your sin. You don't need tonight to be lost. There is a refuge. There is in Christ salvation, safety, no more judgment. You say, what a fool this man Abner was. My, beside the place of judgment, why didn't he just step in and he would have been saved? And yet, my friend, are you not doing the very same thing this evening? You know that Christ died. You know that there is forgiveness. And yet you still haven't entered into Him. You haven't trusted Him. Oh, what a fool he didn't enter in. My friend, there's a refuge. Christ is beside you. He's nearer than hands and feet. Call on Him tonight. But not only do we notice the refuge he despised, but there was the reason he divulged. Speaking after his funeral, David said in verse 38, "And the king said unto his servants, Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel?" According to David's own words, Abner was a man of great ability and courage. As commander-in-chief of Saul's forces, he had distinguished himself in the face of the enemy. And at this present moment in time, he was in negotiations with David. And had he gone into the city of Hebron, he would have been admitting guilt in regard to the death of Joab's brother. Some might even have looked upon it as a sign of weakness or a sign that he was afraid of Joab. And because he was afraid of what David, or he was afraid of what others might say or others might think, he refused to enter into the city and was destroyed. And you know, my friend, the fear of man bringeth a snare. If it is not slain, it'll slay your soul. Indeed, we read there in the verse 26 of the chapter, "And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sirah. But David knew it not." And instead of listening to his conscience, instead of listening to the word of God and taking to his heels and running, he listened to the messengers. And fearing what the messengers might say and the messengers might think, he stopped. And he lost his life. My friend, what's the most dangerous disease known to man today? My, it's not heart disease. It's not rabies. It's not even cancer. It is androphobia. It is a fear of man. Why was almost persuaded Agrippa not altogether persuaded? It was because he was afraid what Bernice, or he was afraid what Festus might think. Why was it that Herod, although he knew in his heart of hearts it was wrong, delivered John the Baptist up to be beheaded? Because he feared those around him. Why is it that so many young people, although they detest the taste and the smell of it, they take their first drink? Why is it that so many, my drug addicts, might take their first drug or push the needle into their arm? My friend, it's because they're afraid. They're afraid of what people might think. They're afraid of what their friends might say if they don't do it. And you say, preacher, how foolish. How foolish putting poison into your body simply to please those around you. And yet, my friend, is that not what you're doing tonight? You know in your heart you should be saved. Not by because you're afraid of what people might think. Afraid of what family might say. Afraid of the reaction that you will meet tomorrow. My, you have put him off. Oh, I say to you tonight, my friend, be a man. Be a woman. Do what is right tonight. Don't let some man, don't let some group who has no real care for your soul rob you of eternal life. Abner was looking around, and that's why he didn't enter in. But I think also we notice here, my, the relationship he developed, thinking of his own neck. We read away back in the verse 12. And Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, whose is the land? Saying also, make thy league with me, and behold, my hand shall be with thee to bring about all Israel unto thee. Political expediency taking precedent over principle. Abner being defeated in battle, he then switched sides. Leaving off the robes of rebellion, he reached out the hand of friendship to David, putting away his enmity. We then find him turning hundreds and turning thousands unto David. And while he, by his efforts, strengthened the hand of the king and extended his glory, yet the demands of the law now catching up with him, he was put to death. You see, my friend, all his efforts, even for the king, was unable to stop the wrath of the avenger. And you know, while seemingly good works may hinder the wrath of man, they can never hinder the wrath of God. They are unable to save. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking of the day of judgment, he said there in Matthew 7:22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And you'll notice here that the Lord Jesus Christ did not contradict, he did not deny their claims. And while they had preached and they had prophesied and they had performed many miracles, drawing many unto the Savior, yet the Lord said that he knew them not. And knowing them not, they were cast out into the lake of fire. You see, my friend, service without salvation cannot save. It's unable to stop the wrath of God. You know, many, many years ago, a lighthouse was built on the coast of England by a man called Win Stanley. He was so confident of his structure that, laughing off every criticism, he himself went and lived in the lighthouse for some time. And for some time, that lighthouse standing, its light going out, it warned the coming vessels of danger, and it saved many lives. But one night, a storm coming, my, the lighthouse was swept away, and it was destroyed. And I want to tell you, my friend, by your words and by your works, you may witness to many. And you may turn many away from the danger of their sin, and you may turn them unto Christ, the light of the world, and see their lives changed. But listen, if you have never been to the cross, my friend, all your works, all your efforts will count for nothing in that day. My, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, this man, he looked to the wrong people. He went to the wrong place.
And my friend, he perished. Oh, tonight, don't be foolish. My friend, don't let some relationship, don't let some friendship rob you tonight of heaven. Get to the cross. Get to the Savior. Enter into Christ the refuge and be saved. How foolish he was. But I want you tonight not only to notice his folly, but I want you to notice his fate. Job's wrath finally bursting forth, he lured him up to the city, sending the young men to distract him. He then slew him. Notice there its suddenness. We read in the verse 27 of the chapter, and when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, and he died for the blood of Asahel his brother. In the previous verse we are told that David knew it not. And from these words it seems that Joab, in sending for Abner, he used the king's name unlawfully. And as such, in coming unto Hebron, Abner suspected no malice. He thought that Job was merely going to further the negotiations. He was merely going to give him some more instructions. In fact, we're told there in the verse 34 that his hands and feet were not bound. It never entered into his mind that Joab was setting a trap. It never for a moment, it should have, but it never entered into his mind for a second that Joab was going to kill him. You see, my friend, this man's death came when he least expected it. And death is as near the young man's back as it is the old man's face. It comes when it's least expected. Indeed, warning the men of David's day that he would bring them down to the grave, the Lord describing their destruction, he said in Psalm 73 in the verse 19, how are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awaketh. So, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. And he described their death as coming not merely in a moment, but as a dream. My friend, have you ever had a dream? Isn't it strange that when you have a dream, you always waken at the most unexpected moment? And that's when death comes. Life, at best, is brief. Like the butterfly, it is easily crushed and destroyed. While the Emperor Justin, with the edge of the sword, was able to conquer nation after nation after nation, yet entering into a newly painted room and unable to breathe, he fell down dead. Every year in Northern Ireland, something like 15,000 people die. That's over 40 people every single day. Sorrow has entered into over 40 homes across the province even today. Unless you say, preacher, but I'm strong, I'm young, I'm in the prime of my life. My friend, one person under 35 dies every single day in Northern Ireland. When does death come? It comes when least expected. And maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, preacher, I have plenty of time to consider my salvation. I'm strong. I'm young. My friend, you have no promise of tomorrow. Wasn't it Whitfield said that every night when he went to bed, he always took his coat and his umbrella and he set them neatly by the door? Why? Because he said he never knew what time of the night he might be called out. My friend, you don't know what time you may be called away. And I wonder, is all in order? Are you ready? If death should come tonight, are you ready to stand before God? Are you ready to meet Him? Not only its suddenness, but I want you to notice also its similarities. Look at verse 27 of the chapter. And when David was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother. In the previous chapter, we find Abner slaying Asahel. Driving his spear backward, he smote him with the hinder part, not being that part which is normally used in battle. It would have taken him by surprise. And in driving it into him, he drove it also beneath his fifth rib. And as such, we see that as Abner slew Asahel, so he now also was slain. And my friend, what we sow in life is what we'll reap. We will judge. Our judgment will be in kind. Indeed, Solomon, that great man of wisdom, taking up his pen, he said in Proverbs 1, verse 31, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. And he reminded them that that which they would eat in life was that which they also had sown. You see, our future is determined by our past. What we brew in life is what we will drink in eternity. Oh, I know there are those today and they like to throw away the idea of the harvest. And they imagine that they can live like the devil. And then when it comes to death, that they can die as the saint of God. I want to tell you, my friend, tonight, if you live without Christ, and have no time for Christ in that day, He will have no time for you. If you reject the Lord in life, then in death, He will reject you. What you're sowing tonight is what you're going to reap. I don't think Abner maybe realized that. But my friend, the day came when he reaped. And what you're sowing tonight is what you're going to reap. Not only its similarities, but notice its situation, verse 27. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly. Although he stood at the very gate, the gate of refuge, although he was just a step away, yet he perished. And my friend, it's possible to stand at the very gate of heaven and yet to fall into the very lake of fire. Judas, as someone said, kissed the door of heaven, but was lost. The hymn writer said, almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. And maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you say, preacher, I know that I need to be saved. I know that my soul is in danger. I know that Christ is my only hope. I feel God speaking to my heart. Preacher, I'm at the very door. Oh, my friend, it's not enough to be at the door. It's not enough to tremble. It's not enough tonight to say, I want to be saved. You could do all of that and be lost. You need to enter in. You need to trust Him. Oh, tonight will you learn from this man? And my friend, will you enter? Will you make Christ your Savior? But lastly and briefly, I want you to notice his funeral. While he had been a rebel, yet David came to his funeral. Following his coffin, the tears running down his cheeks. Notice here that his tears were genuine. Look at verse 33 of the chapter.
And the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth. Hearing of his death, David rent his clothes. Putting on sackcloth, he followed after Abner's coffin. And while it was normal in those days after the funeral to have a great feast in order to lift the spirits, David refused my to eat. And while Abner in his life had caused him much pain, while Abner in his life had caused him much grief, he caused him even more grief in his death. And I want to tell you, my friend, tonight, God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It brings him great sorrow. I see him standing, looking o'er the city of Jerusalem, and seeing that city prophetically being destroyed, the tears ran down his cheeks. Yea, as I live, Jehovah saith, I would not have the sinner's death. There's no sorrow in your destruction. Oh, tonight he longs to save you. He longs to redeem you. He longs to bring you into his family. But you know, his tears were not only genuine, his tears were gracious, because look at verse 38. And the king said unto his servants, know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? From these words we see that David saw in Abner great potential. He viewed him as eventually becoming one of his best and chief officers. And seeing what this man could have done, the tears ran down his cheeks. And my friend, the Lord tonight not only weeps over what you have done, but the Lord weeps over what you could have done. Over the service that you could have given even unto Him. One of the saddest things in looking over any gathering is seeing, my, the potential that is lost in that gathering. My, if only men gave their lives to Christ, how they could have been used. Oh, my friend, Christ longs to save you. He longs to take you up. He sees in you potential. He sees in you a service that you could perform. A service that you could do even for Him. And then you know his tears were guileless, because look at verse 28 of the chapter. And afterwards, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. David made it clear to the whole kingdom that he was guiltless. He was not responsible for the death of Abner. And my friend, God is not responsible for the destruction of souls. If your soul is lost and goes out into a lost, Christless eternity, it'll not be because God didn't love you. It'll be because you jumped over His love. It'll not be because God didn't speak to you. It'll be because you rejected His voice. You see, it's not God that damns man. It's men that damn themselves by hardening their heart and rejecting the grace of God. You know, a man one day was walking down a busy street in a city center. He had one of those sandwich boards on, and on the front of the sandwich board were the words, I am a fool for Christ's sake. People seeing them, they looked at it and read, and as he walked by, they sniggered. And then curiosity getting the better of them, they turned around to see what was on the back. And the back were the words, whose fool are you? Abner died in his sin. And because he died in his sin, he died as a fool.
My friend, how will you die? How will you go out to meet your Maker? How will you go out to stand before Christ as a fool in your sin? Or, my friend, having had your sin washed away, go to meet Him as one who is a member of His family. Oh, I trust tonight that you'll learn from Abner, that you'll recognize it's not enough to be near. It's not enough to be thinking about getting saved. My friend, you need to enter into Christ, because of Him and Him alone is safety. Will you enter in tonight? Will you trust Christ? Will you make sure that it is well with your soul? I urge you to come. I urge you to seek Him tonight while He is near.